This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Soak in the sunshine with the return of Pelican's seasonal beer, Pelicano. Available in clear glass bottles for refreshment you can see.
All right, Daily Ticker time here to start the final hour of the show, brought to you, as always, by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing Company. Celebrate Cinco de Mayo with Pelican Brewing's Mexican Lager, Pelicano, bright, crisp, and brewed for good times. It's the ultimate fiesta refreshment. Cinco de Mayo being on Monday totally snuck up on me.
Cinco de Drinko.
What the hell happened, man? Where's the year going?
Yep.
The NFL draft is just right on our heel, right in our rearview mirror. So much was going on. We talked about it at length all week long. One of the biggest things of the draft that happened was the Jags trading from number 5 to number 2 with a general manager who looks like he's a 12-year-old. And then Mike Silver wrote a piece about it, and it was unbelievable. He happened to be behind the scenes in the draft room, and you could go read the entire thing on The Athletic. You can find it on his Twitter account, at Mike Silver, covering the NFL for a long time for The Athletic. Mike, good morning to you. Are we talking like blind luck here that you end up in that draft room? Was it a hunch? How did we know Jacksonville was going to be the newsbreaker of the opening round?
Well, it's never luck. So I would say this. First of all, getting into any draft room is a monumental achievement. I've been lucky enough to do it about 5-6 times. A couple of my colleagues in the business have accomplished it, including Peter King, but it is rare. So, it's not like I sat there with a menu of 32 teams going, well, I think this would be the right spot. You know, I would add to that I was really intrigued by the Jaguars story, that I sensed that they're trying to do something big and bold. There's a reset going on. You know, you've got three people coming in new who seem to be very aligned, and Tony Boselli, who's now the executive VP of football operations, Liam Cohen, the rookie coach, and James Gladstone, the aforementioned GM, who some people think looks like he's 12. So, I did think there was it was a cool story that was a larger story to be written. Now, them trading up to get Travis Hunter on night one was an added bonus, but it was really cool. And I did write a quick story that night, and then a longer one that dropped Tuesday, and people will see in that second one there was actually a lot of drama on day two as well, so it worked out great.
Yeah, that Tuesday edition was it's one of the best reads I've read, and I love The Athletic, but that was a fantastic write-up by you, and I kind of felt like I was in the corner with a notebook writing things down, like as if I was you watching all of that unfold. What were your other, apologies for not knowing top of my head, you mentioned, I think you said this is the fifth time you've been in a draft room. What are the other four experiences like? What's the most memorable one for you?
It might have been more. Well, when Jeff Fisher took over the Rams, I got in that first year. And then subsequently, I was in the Rams war room several times. Once I was there when Michael Sam was drafted, which was wild, on day three. And that was, so that encompassed my, I was at Yahoo, then NFL Network, so I wrote that one for NFL.com. The last time I was in the Rams war room was when Jared Goff went number one overall. They did that in downtown LA at a Courtyard by Marriott. Thanks for asking. It was good. They were kind of setting it all up in LA still. It was wild. But yeah, no, so I saw some really cool things. I did get in the Jaguars war room back in the Dave Caldwell era when they took Dante Fowler with the first overall pick. That was 10 years ago. That was just for, I was in there for about an hour, but got to see the pick. That was really cool. And then my most recent one was also, before this, was also Jags related, but it was the virtual draft. So I got some virtual access via the app House Party, which somehow is still on my phone, and I don't think I've used it since. I'm kind of old. I might be outside the House Party demo, but it worked that night. It was fun.
Well, could you walk us, because we're all football fans, whether we do media or we're just fans who consume media and love the sport, we all watch this draft, and we go, could I do this job? Could I make a list of players, sit in a room, and then my turn, okay, I'll take the guy I had at the highest on my board. I'm just curious, could you walk us through what it's like to be in this draft room and watch the process unfold? What don't people understand about running and doing a draft?
Well, I mean, I think everyone's like fantasy drafted, so we all think we could, right? It's interesting. Sometimes it feels boring, right? A long time between picks. And I'm not one of those people who does instant draft analysis in terms of, you know, outcome of how good the players are. But I do evaluate process, because if a team goes in with a plan and a clear, you know, approach and executes it the way they want or adjusts on the fly, I give good marks for that. So, you kind of rank them and you say, oh, we're just going to be true to the board. But a lot of times, you know, you do have position needs. You're wondering, other teams have certain needs, who might, you know, trade above you, who might try to, you know, torpedo you. I think what's interesting is, and I do write about this in the story that dropped Tuesday, is people get these draft crushes, right? You're doing this for months and months and months and having so many meetings and overthinking it. And so in this case, Tony Boselli had this draft crush on this offensive lineman from LSU that he really, really wanted. But in the end, they chose between him and another offensive lineman with the 89th pick, Wyatt Milam from West Virginia. The offensive line coach, the GM, the coach were skewing that way a little. So Boselli took one for the team there, but he did have to give up his draft crush. Who, two picks later, the Ravens took off the board. And the Ravens are like the classic team that just picks value and lets the board come to them a lot. So, it's fun when it happens in real time. The other thing I think, fans might not appreciate is, you know, we see the clock ticking, and, you know, there's a very real consequence if you don't get the pick in. I think it was about 20 plus years ago, maybe 2003, the Vikings famously thought they had a trade worked out with the Ravens. There was a snafu with the communication with the league. They got bypassed by, they had the seventh overall pick. They got bypassed by the eighth and ninth team quickly before they could recover and put in the card. So the embarrassment and the loss of draft position, you really don't want time to run out. So, you know, a lot of times you're waiting as the clock goes, because a late trade offer might come in, or you're considering one still. And there are other options. In the story I wrote, the Jags had worked out a trade with the Lions where they were going to trade down from 70. But the communication with the league office, I would say it was on the league side, something went wrong, and it was taking a really long time. And with about a minute and a half on the clock, Brad Holmes calls James Gladstone, and he's like, hey, do we have a deal? And it was a fair phone call, because in each case, it's not just, oh, I have 90 seconds to put the pick in. You have to call the player in question that you're drafting. And that's I don't know if people know this, but that's an NFL thing. You know, usually the cliche is to make sure they're not dead. That's a little overdramatic, but you've spent months and months and months. You have a lot invested in this. You want to hear the person's voice. It's not just for show, like, hey, you're going to be a Jaguar. It's like, hey, we want to know that you're like of sound being and, you know, you didn't break your legs. Like, so with a minute and a half, Brad Holmes and James Gladstone are on the phone and one of them has to call, you know, whichever player that guy's going to pick, get him on the phone and then get the pick in. So it could get kind of tense as the clock winds down.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
God, that's fascinating. Mike Silver is our guest. Go follow him on Twitter at Mike Silver. He's got a piece in The Athletic, being behind the scenes with the Jags for their draft this past weekend and everything that went into it. And it's a fascinating read as he's given us a little bit of behind the scenes of what it's like to be in that room. And, I make the joke about Gladstone in the way that, you know, he looks and how old he looks. But there is, I think, a thing that resonates with us. We started our radio careers very young, and a lot of people thought, mid-20s, nobody's going to take you seriously. That age thing is a part of it. I remember when Sean McVay was hired as the head coach originally of the Rams, and you're like, this guy's 32 years old? What the hell are they thinking? And now he looks like a genius.
30, that's right.
Thank you. Even younger than that. So there is an intrigue there of, like, is this guy really, is he a wunderkind? Is he, like, this boy genius who's coming up as you watch him interact with other GMs? He's pulling out these phone calls. Just what are some of the traits and the things that stand out from experiencing such a young general manager that you just don't see very often in the NFL?
Well, so far I would say one thing that I've noticed with James Gladstone is he's not afraid to throw himself out there, which, you know, is going to cause some resentment in the ranks, I think. But also, he's got some swag to him. And so that's not always going to translate well. And we saw Shedeur Sanders, the swag obviously wasn't, super well received, which was regrettable. But in the case of Travis Hunter and James Gladstone, the swag was, applauded. So I don't know. I like the swag. I like that he, and he's doing it a little unconventionally. Like he tries to run his draft or to present his draft board more along the lines of a coach's call sheet with, like, kind of categories and little reminders and alerts. And he also had a little laminated mini card in his pocket of 31 guys that were kind of like the guys he really thought, based on round and position, that they wanted to pay special attention to. And 8 of the 9 guys they got were on that sheet. So by his standard, it went well. But I think, he's not a guy who's going to shy away from not just throwing it out there, but trying to be great. And, that doesn't mean he'll always get the best players. And certainly you can get the roster you want and the ball bounces weird or, it's not coached well, whatever. But I think he's got a chance to make some noise. And I think more significant, the Jaguars have had this, horrific run. Urban Meyer obviously being the low point, but some really, really rough years, with two exceptions, since Shad Khan bought the team in 2011. And I think they have a chance now to try to craft it in a different way, and they're not being subtle about it. They're getting after it.
I want to ask you a Shador question, and I know that's probably something you've been asked about a lot. I know you covered the Jags draft. I am curious very quickly, though, Mike, like when you're in that room, maybe this is a tell-all book at the end of your career when you don't care anymore about people being mad at you. How often do these teams like audibly react to teams making questionable picks? Like, do you hear and feel teams like laughing? Are they gasping? Does that happen in the draft room?
I mean, it's happened. I'm trying to think back to this current draft. You know, one interesting reaction in the Jags war room was they kind of in the middle of the round, some of the people, it wasn't a very populated room as draft rooms go, it was probably a dozen people, but a couple of people started talking about the Ravens and like, watch, they're just going to sit there and the perfect guy for the Ravens is going to fall to them right there. Like always, it's going to be right there on the board. Watch how they do this. They're the best. And like, sure enough, the safety is there at where 27. And they're like, watch what happens. And you know, sure enough, they turn in the card and they're like classic Baltimore Ravens. They just got the best guy for them. So that was kind of cool just to see the admiration. And then interestingly, after the draft, I debriefed with Eric DaCosta, their great general manager, over text, and he hadn't read the story yet, but he kind of begrudgingly admitted that the Jags had snagged a couple of guys that he wanted too, which, you know, I don't think is normal. So that was kind of cool to hear his side of it. But yeah, no, certainly they react. And listen, I think the Shador thing, you know, it's portrayed as this like, haha, the NFL taught him a lesson. But at least what I experienced via text and witnessing their draft room was, it didn't feel like that at all. It felt more like, yeah, it's not, we don't want it for us. It's not right. But like, damn, that poor kid. And when he did finally get off the board in the fifth round, I don't know if it was like flat out applause, but people seemed happy in the Jags war room, like, okay, good, that poor kid finally, got on a team. So I do think it is overstated, this whole like, this guy, we're going to show him that, you know, he's too cocky for the NFL. I think it's, you know, some of it was some people didn't like his tape. There's other stuff out there, but I do think it's going to go down as a more regrettable chapter. And I think there was an awareness around the league that it was a bad look for the league overall. And, you know, somebody had to step up and stop the bleeding.
Great stuff. What do you make of coaches' sons getting their organization and coach fired $250K and $100K? You ever seen that before?
No, I know Jeff Ulbrich really, really well. It's just, man, I'm really torn on this one because I really feel for Shador. I think he's a better kid than people realize. I know Jeff Ulbrich really well. I know what an idiot I was at 21. And I also am a huge fan of prank calls and have a long storied history, sometimes with NFL players, of doing prank calls. But that particular prank seemed, you know, a little cruel in the moment. Putting it on the internet or putting it on social media is an interesting choice too. But yeah, that's a lot of money, man. And listen, I have a kid. One of my kids is in his mid-20s and he's on the radio in San Francisco. So I totally get what you guys are saying. But if he ever did anything like that to me, can you imagine like how many times he'd have to wash my car and other, you know, assorted things? That would be rough.
Gladstone getting prank called. How'd you get the number? Oh, my dad. His cell phone was open.
He's in your room right now. He happens to be in your draft room. He's over there in the corner.
I'll tell you one thing, like the unsecured iPad thing, that seems like, I don't know, man. The kid was in Mississippi. I feel like he had cloud access. I know how technologically, you know, dubious I am. So I feel like, you know, it's possible now that my kids, I'm thinking, like, have access to all my stuff, and I just didn't know.
The cloud confuses us all, Mike.
That
it's
was
okay.
A joke.
We are all there. I'm right there with you. And now we're going to have to rebook an interview for this summer to hear just stories about you prank calling NFL players. That will be the follow-up interview.
You're going to have to get Chris Cooley, the former Washington tight end, involved and some other some other former NFL players on that call too, because I'm not taking it alone.
I love it. Mike Silver, go check out his great reporting, man. It's one of the more enjoyable. If you're into draft stuff and following this and how teams operate and all that, no matter how you feel about the Jags, it's a great read on The Athletic.
Yay, journalism.
It still exists. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike Silver. We genuinely appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much for the time here in Portland, and hopefully again we can do this soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory and that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.